So it shouldn't come as a surprise that yes, there was violence in North America before the Europeans arrived. There was sacrifice, as there was in Europe, and as there continues to be in the United States today. Their sacrifice just takes different forms, like mass shootings, school-to-prison pipelines, and a trillion-something-dollar war industry.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to this episode of the Raven Cast. My name is Adam Erickson, and I am here with my dear friend and colleague at the Raven Foundation, Lindsay Paris Lopez. Hi, Lindsay, how you doing?
Great. How are you, Adam?
I'm doing really, really well, actually. It's the early afternoon for me, 2:30. I just had my afternoon coffee, and I am ready for the afternoon. So, yeah.
Great.
Yeah. So, and you and I wanted to discuss two events coming up, or two anniversaries, I suppose, which are Columbus Day, which is Monday, Columbus slash Indigenous Peoples Day, and also the 16th year anniversary, or is it the 17th year anniversary of the war in Afghanistan?
17.
17 years. That is the longest war in US history, right?
Yes, I mean, depends on how you judge it, because technically the Korean War never had an official peace treaty. It was just an armistice, so that's why we need to. That's one of the reasons we need to look at the situation in Korea. But the longest continuous hot war, I would say, that's Afghanistan.
Yeah.
It's been going on for 17 years.
17 years. And you wanted to title this conversation Battling from the Beginning. How did
Yeah,
you come?
Jordan.
Oh yeah, what is significant about that to you for you?
Well, the United States has been at war since before we have been the United States. We began this whole great American project in violence, and we were conceived in violence. We our European ancestors stole the land, genocide from the beginning, from Columbus, up until now. We've been fighting pretty much continuously, and with Columbus Indigenous Peoples Day coming up on Monday, and the 17-year anniversary of the ongoing war in Afghanistan coming up Sunday. I just couldn't, the connection was just there. And I thought, we need to talk about war, and we need to talk about what we need to be remembering and repenting and repairing.
Gerard's last book was called Battling to the End.
Yes.
And a very apocalyptic book. And one of the things that Gerard says in his theory is that we human culture is created from violence, created from sacrifice. And so you have all of these internal, like the theory in a nutshell, right? You have all of these internal conflicts, and those conflicts need an outlet, and they manage to find an outlet against a scapegoat, a victim. And this is like before this happens, there's just all this conflict, and then there's this sense of community, this sense of peace, this sense that all of our conflicts is washed away as we unite against a common enemy. And this, Gerard says, is how cultures form. And so that the American culture formed. It's a great way of understanding how the American culture formed, because we formed out of, as you say, violence from the very beginning. Columbus comes in, discovers America, and there's from the beginning slavery. There's violence against Native Americans, and as you say, it's a lot to repent from.
And right.
then all of a sudden, the rebellion against the British Empire as well. So yeah, it's all there. And you know, you learn all of this. I recently read Lies My Teacher Told Me, fascinating book. The American history textbooks and teachers all tell kind of this heroification of the people of our past so that we can feel good about our history. And so you don't get like a lot of the violent stuff from the history of Columbus. You get the heroification of Columbus.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's another Girardian concept that ties in, which is the myth making that we paper over our violence. We do not recognize our violence as violence, and we do not recognize our victims as victims. So we are the good guys, we are righteous, we are the bearers of manifest destiny. Mm-hmm. You know, that's built into American culture and American history, this image that we have of ourselves we have the image of ourselves as conquering warriors. I mean, that has served us for a while. And so we've got the idea of warriors, conquering warriors in our culture and history, but then we want to be more humane. We know that conquering isn't really cool anymore. So we've got a sense of noble pioneers, and you know, to be a conqueror means we've conquered a people, and we all know that. And there's more and more and more recognition of the people we've conquered, and yet the people, I don't even like the word conquered. I'm sorry. I'm using a word that was once acceptable to try to show that it's no longer acceptable. So basically, colonists came and they enslaved and they killed and they mutilated and they brought diseases that wiped out whoever would have survived all the other violence. There's nothing at all noble. There's nothing honorable about that. And we know it. So when we describe the beginning of our history now, we may tend to leave out all the people who suffered from it when we talk about the early immigrants to the United States. But Indigenous peoples day, calling what has been and is still called Columbus Day, Indigenous Peoples Day, doesn't allow us to forget the victims of early colonization. And so it can be so to observe it, we should recognize the victims of our wars from the very beginning, as well as honor and celebrate the cultures that were all but destroyed. Some were destroyed, some have not been destroyed, but have been severely harmed by white colonialism.
Yes. Yes, and just want to point out that there are some Girardians who will say, oh, but you have to look at the other side of this. And they'll say Native American culture, Indigenous people's culture, was just as violent and had all kinds of slavery and horrible things, horrific things, sacrifice, human sacrifice. And so isn't it so much better that we that the Europeans came and transformed that culture?
I have seen articles about that, and I expect to either see the same ones or new ones along those lines in the next few days. Mm-hmm. What I would say is that Girardians don't shy away from the fact that human beings are violent in all cultures, and that violence can be expressed in different ways, but humans are violent animals. So it shouldn't come as a surprise that, yes, there was violence in North America before the Europeans arrived. There was sacrifice, as there was in Europe, and as there continues to be in the United States today. There, sacrifice just takes different forms, like mass shootings, school-to-prison pipelines, and a $1 trillion war industry. You know, we recognize on Indigenous Peoples Day that our violence has all but wiped out a whole culture. And whether that culture was many cultures, and whether those cultures were perfect or not is not the point. We have to recognize our own violence. I would also say that I've seen articles about the violence in Native American cultures, and they may downplay the violence in European cultures, which we should never do. We should recognize that violence fully, and they do not show us the good in Native American cultures, which we should absolutely recognize and honor on Indigenous Peoples Day. The main thing I'm thinking of is the understanding of stewardship for the earth and for creation. And last year, our friend and syndicated columnist, Robert Kohler, wrote this amazing article that just blew me away. It was called Reflections from the Anthropocene. And in that article, he writes about how Indigenous Native cultures interacting with the land actually helped the land. So we think of humanity as being a destructive force, and the best we can do in our relationship with the earth is tread as lightly as possible. But human beings can be a force for good for the environment. Mm-hmm. And a lot of Native American cultures and Indigenous cultures around the world understood that, knew how to care for the environment. So, you know, whether or not they sacrificed each other is incredibly important, but there is a wisdom to how they interacted with the environment that most of us, as the descendants of, I say this to the white people listening because white people, we've got the history of conquest and enslavement, and I'm not going to put that on the other races that live among us in this culture right now. And I'm not saying that we're the only people, but in North America, that's pretty much what I'm saying, that it's on white people, that we do not have the wisdom as a colonizing culture that went and took more and more land. We do not have the wisdom of living with the earth that the Native and Indigenous people have. And we need to own that. We need to, we need to learn. And so remembering our victims and learning from the wisdom of Native Americans, Indigenous people, those are things that we should be doing on Monday, on Indigenous People's Day, and every day.
Yeah, and here's something else. You bring up Indigenous people and nature, but at the very early in U.S. history, Congress and even Benjamin Franklin looked to the Indian League of Nations, League of Six Nations, and that was a forerunner to the U.S. Constitution. Benjamin Franklin had all kinds of really great things to say about the League of Nations. And also Congress ended up writing in 1744, the Six Nations are a wise people. Let us hearken to their counsel and teach our children to follow it. Let us teach our children to follow the wisdom of the Six Nations. So there is a lot of history of early American history of people, of Native Americans influencing this nation and the Constitution and how we have become. I just want to mention that there are viewers on Facebook, and if you'd like to leave a comment, we'll bring those in. So there's a lot that we have ignored about the history of Native Americans and what they've contributed to American history that we have to make up for. And so Indigenous Peoples Day is another great way to do that as well. You also wanted to talk about the war in Afghanistan.
Yes. So we're going from pre-United States history up until the present. And sadly, what connects it is violence. You know, I think we've all seen the memes that say out of our, 242 years of history, we have had maybe 15 or 20 years of peace. Not, I don't think consecutively. And I mean, that's horrible. Mm-hmm. We have been battling from the beginning. And now we have a continuous war on terror. And I want to say that the war in Iraq, you know, I've Googled it. It has an end date if you Google it, but it hasn't really ended. You know, we might have an official date, but of course we still have troops there. There's still violence there. There's still fighting. So what we do is we launch wars. And the public forgets about them, but the public here in the United States forget about those wars. But the people in the countries that we are fighting keep dying. You know, we keep bombing, we keep droning, we keep having, you know, troops on the ground. And
the war on terror has not stopped terror. It has only increased terrorism. So it just doesn't, this is the mimetic principle of violence that we're seeing, that violence doesn't stop violence. It just creates more violence. And you see this actually, I meant to bring this up a little earlier in the history of the United States. There was this general when the early United States was going to war against Native Americans, Philip Sheridan, a general, who at one point said, "The only good Indian is a dead Indian." Yeah, how awful is that? But he also admitted that we took away their country and their means of support, and it was for this and against this that they made war. Could anyone expect less? So it's just this cycle of back and forth of violence. We often think that violence is the way to solve our problems. They hit us, we hit them back. I mean, this is what 9/11 was all about and the war on terror is all about, but it only breeds more and more violence. Jesus says, "Those who live by the sword die by the sword, because the sword will come back against you." So you got to find another way.
Right. Yeah. I mean, humanity really should know by now that violence only begets more violence. But of course, when we're in a life or death situation, it's very hard not to be violent. Mm-hmm. But the United States is pretty safe geographically in terms of you know, from other nations. Now, from ourselves, we are not, because we are living in a culture of violence where we are spending all our resources on violence overseas, and, you know, our police force is becoming increasingly militarized. So we're not particularly safe from ourselves, but we are not threatened by others the way, you know, the way that the powers that be would like for us to believe. I mean, the people of Afghanistan, the people of Iraq, the people of Syria, Yemen, all these places where our wars are continuing, the people are not our enemies. Their leaders may have problems with us, and the people of those countries, if they didn't before, may have problems with us as we continue to destroy their countries. But the average person in the United States is not in danger, and we do not need to spend so much resources on war, and we would do so much more for our own national security as well as the health of the planet if we turned away from war to reparations and rebuilding relationships. And I mean, that's important everywhere. But particularly in Afghanistan, it means a lot to me personally, because my some of the dearest friends of my life are from Afghanistan, or at least their mother was born in Afghanistan. And my friend, who is my age, lived in Afghanistan in the early 2010s. So I was very concerned about the safety there. And she doesn't live there anymore, thank God, because it's gotten worse. You know, yeah. There's 17 years and it's worse.
Yep. And that's one of the narratives that we tell in this myth about Afghanistan, is that they're all it's part of the anti-Muslim sentiment, too, is they're all out to get us. They're under Sharia law, which means they have to come over and take over the world. But that's a misunderstanding of Islam and Sharia law in particular. And one of the things that we have on the Raven website is all kinds of articles from peace activists in Afghanistan. So Afghan peace activists, like, this is one part of the story that nobody is telling, and that covers up this whole myth of all Muslims are violent. There are peace activists in Afghanistan working for peace, risking their lives through nonviolence in order to make the world a better place, in order to make Afghanistan a better place. And they're saying, we don't want any more bombs. We don't want any more of this violence, because the more the US brings in violence, the more the Taliban is going to be violent, and they're just going to reciprocate back and forth. And they're saying, we need to find a better way to do this.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Go ahead. Yeah,
anyone who wants to learn more about what the situation is like on the ground, if you are on the Raven Foundation website and you do a search for either Kathy Kelly or Dr. Hakim or Afghan Peace Volunteers, that's easy to remember, Afghan Peace Volunteers. If you just search, you'll find all the articles we have published about that. And there are more at Voices for Creative Nonviolence, or VCNV.org. And those are so important to read. I would encourage reading some on Sunday, on the 17-year anniversary of the launching of Operation Enduring Freedom, which is the most oxymoronic title for, you know, because it's been Operation Enduring Hell for the people of Afghanistan. It's not freedom. We haven't freed anyone. You know, it's,
yep.
And I want to say, you know, when we think about Afghanistan, we think about the Taliban. We think about things like the burqa. We think about poor treatment of women. I mean, many of us do. That's part of our culture. Part of our culture of, you know, there. It's not like none of those images have any basis in reality, but, you know, decades of violence, you know, breeds a kind of strict fundamentalism. And it's because that is how they can distinguish that. That's how, and this is not just Afghanistan, this is anywhere. Decades of violence breed a kind of fundamentalism because they distinguish themselves from the infidel invaders, which would be us. Our relationship to Afghanistan has been violent for a very, very long time. And the Afghanistan that I know is the Afghanistan that raised my friend's mother. And she is brilliant. She is a psychiatrist. She has raised four strong, independent, feminist Muslim women. And so she comes from an Afghanistan that we won't see again until we stop our violence there. You know, the best way for freedom and democracy and humanity to flourish is for us to stop our violence.
Amen, sister. I love it. Awesome. As you were talking, I was also thinking, you know, one of the things that Gerard gave us that was a great gift is this understanding of myth and this, and what myth, the word myth comes from muo, which means to silence or to shut the mouth of the other. And one of the things that we do when we demonize a whole other culture is that we stop listening to alternative stories from within that culture, from different stories. And so you've told this story about your friend's mother. It's a beautiful story. And there are all kinds of other stories like that just reshape our understanding of the people that we tend to demonize. And so one of the things that I love about Indigenous Peoples Day and about what the days that are coming up is the opportunity to once again listen to find those other stories and to listen to them. So I think that's awesome. That's good. So, Lindsay, thank you for this conversation and thank you everybody for watching. Lindsay, did you have anything else you wanted to say?
Well, I wanted to ask if any people watch this, either live or after the fact when we have published it, if you have any resources about articles or books, that you think would be helpful or encouraging to read on the matter, I would love to dig deeper into this. And especially for me, I'd love to have a story to tell my children on Indigenous Peoples Day. I can look it up myself, of course, but if you know of anything that would be good for that day, if you have shared anything with your little ones, you know, just leave a comment. I am curious and would like to see what I can find to really honor and remember the day with the children who will be out of school. So
fantastic. Awesome. Thank you very much, Lindsay. And thank you everybody for watching. And until next time, take care. Bye-bye.